Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, the 21st, we're going to have Mike Pulvera on and a few other fighters today. Talk about the upcoming Cage Titans fight card, January 30th. Last week we had a few fight intros and then let everybody know what was going on. Mike's on now and he should take a look for a little bit and talk about what he's got coming up. Mike, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing good. You getting ready for Christmas?
Fuck, man. I did all my shopping Saturday. The mall was a mess. I'm broke. So, yeah, I'm ready for the fucking Christmas.
Yeah, I hear you. Luckily, I have a great wife. She does all the shopping for all three of my kids, and she even shops for herself, so it makes it even better.
Thanks. Yeah. don't they all?
Yeah. Well, I told her this year, I said, listen, I said, you're already buying everything you need. So I said, we just bought a house at the beginning of the month. We moved in December 1st. So I said, listen, we spent enough money. I said, so buy yourself a couple of little small things and let's call it a day.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
How's the new house going anyway? You got all your painting done and shit?
Yeah, paintings, new floors, carpet, all that stuff. So it was a little hectic. We planned it. You know, my life revolves around Cage Titans. So, you know, we were originally supposed to move in November 1st, which would have been the week of our show last time. So we kind of strategically planned it after the show. It delayed me a little bit getting to people because I've been so busy. I just got internet a week and a half ago. So it kind of delayed me getting some matchups together for this fight card in January. But I'm happy to say the fighters are on standby. They kind of understood. And it looks like we're going to have a pretty full card full of some great fights for January 30th.
Nice, man. What are you planning on? Do you plan on having a couple of title fights this card or no?
Yeah, we got we have three of our amateur title fights happening. First off is the 125 belt. This belt was vacated by Chris Motino, who, 2015 probably Fighter of the Year. He won our 25 belt, defended it, went to 35, won that belt, went to 45, won that belt. The belt collector, as I call him, has decided to go pro, so he vacated the belts. So that frees up a little bit of action. And at 125, his teammate Rich Santiago, it made logical sense. He's on a three-fight winning streak. He wanted to jump in and try to fight for the belt that his teammate vacated, and he's taking on Ryan Razzle Dazzle Kane out of Junico and Sijutong. And Ryan, you know, he's also on, I think, a 3-fight win streak as well. These guys have some bad blood. They don't really like each other. This fight was supposed to happen last year. One of the guys got injured. So they've been going back and forth. They see each other in public. You know, I know that Rich or Razzle is like, I'm going to bloody that face. So it's really fun. We announced that in the cage at intermission at our show in November. So, you know, the anticipation's there. And we're pretty excited for it.
Yeah, it's always fun. It's always fun. You know, some of it's fake. Some of it's real. Some guys are really good at faking it and putting out some hostility. But it's fun when there's a little bit of anger and angst between two people. You know, if something was supposed to happen, you were supposed to fight, and it fell through, whatever it was, it's nice. It's nice to see guys have an emotional investment in what they're about to do.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Rich Santiago, I mean, he's a tough, tough kid. I mean, he trains with the likes of Rambo Cotterelli, who's a top five, 125-er. We just mentioned Chris Motino is his teammate. They got a plethora of they really at Rivera Athletics, they have a lot of little guys at 125. So, you know, I'm excited to see him. You know, he started off his career with a couple hiccups, trying to get his mind right. You know, he's in a good place, rattled off some wins in a row, and here he is. And then, you know, what can you say about Ryan Kane and his team? You know, he trains at Sijutong, Junico, you know, one of the best schools in New England. And this kid's been kind of like, you know, a child coming up in the sport. You know, he was on the U.S. Pancration team when he was a teenager. You know, so this is two top-level 125ers going at it in the amateur ranks for a belt, and that adds a little extra prestige to the fight than just a normal, regular fight. So it's going to be a fun one.
What do you have, you know, aside from that? When you go to look for guys that are coming up through, who do you try and match up, or what do you try and look for when you got somebody coming? We talk about the almost like a farm league you've been doing with the amateurs. What are you looking for out of amateurs so that guys can kind of get a taste? I mean, everybody wants that easy fight, that padded record. What are you looking for? I've seen you put guys in there, you know, that have fights of the night and they still move up, you know, and fight stiffer competition. What are you looking for out of amateurs as they start to move up to put them into a spot to get them towards that belt?
You know, it's really difficult, you know, especially for us at Cage Titans. You know, when you have, like last year we had 13 0-0 amateur fighters, and let's be honest, I got no clue who could be the next freaking Conor McGregor and who might be the next one and done. You know, so it's a little difficulty. I rely on a lot of the coaches. You know, in grid relationships that I have with the coaches, to be honest and upfront and kind of give me a good assessment of their fighters. You know, before I used to travel around a lot to the gyms and see them firsthand. I don't get out as much anymore. But, you know, being in business for 5+ years, 26, this is going to be our 27th fight. You know, we have a good rapport with the gyms, and, you know, they're pretty upfront, honest with me, give me good skill assessments, especially on these guys that are coming up. And then I see for myself on fight night, you know, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for guys who have a good performance, whether win or lose. We're going to put them back in there and try to give them a, you know, opportunity to showcase their skills. I like to have, you know, you mentioned the title fights. I try to make it a minimum requirement of 3 victories in the amateur ranks before they fight for titles. You know, I've seen other shows in the past that tried to do amateur titles and they got 1-0 guys fighting for titles. You know, we want our titles to mean something. You know, all our amateur title holders have been some of the upper echelon fighters in New England. You know, Rob Font was one of our amateur title fighters. Now he's fighting on UFC Boston coming up in January. Manny Bermudez is an up-and-coming professional fighter. You know, if you name him, Frank Sforza, Sloppy Joe back in the day, Matt Tullis. There's so many guys who have come up through our ranks, and they're just a who's who of fighters. So we really like our titles to mean something and to move up those ranks. And we're not just throwing belts at the biggest ticket seller. We want our titles to mean something. We want our fighters to earn it. And when you see a belt around their waist, you know that they're one of the best at their weight class in all of New England.
With amateur titles, you see a lot of guys win one and then, you know, move on. Do you like to see your amateurs, or do you work out something in the contract that, you know, maybe they defend it at least once, or are they, you know, just kind of a staging platform for guys to go, hey, I won this title, I'm ready to go pro? Is, you know, how do you look at that?
You know, it's always great to have a title holder. You know, in the ideal world, I'd love to see all our title holders, you know, defend the belt at least once. You know, but I'm no dummy. I know that, you know, fighting in the amateur ranks, you don't get paid. And, you know, the ultimate goal is just for experience and to move on to that professional level and start getting a paycheck and working your way towards the bigger goals, which are big shows or the UFC, Bellator, World Series fighting. You know, so in the ideal world, it would be great if they defend their title once. You know, but if some fighters want to go pro right after winning their title because they want to see that, like, that was the pinnacle of my amateur career. I won the amateur belt, and I'm ready to move on. If that's the way they look at it, I'm happy with that as well. So, like I said, ideal world, I'd love to see him defend, but I have no issues with a guy winning a title and then saying, hey, this is kind of like the highlight of my career. I want to go out on this note and move it on to the next level.
Right. All right. Well, we have our first caller, Mike. If you want to make the introduction, I do believe you know who it is, and I'll sit back and listen for a minute.
Yeah, you know, what today I wanted to have on one of our professional fighters, and, you know, I was just, it was a perfect segue. I don't know if, I didn't plan that, but good job, Keegan. Your hosting duties are coming along nicely, but, you know, talking about our amateur titles, this guy was one of our amateur title holders. He came in, won our amateur title, he defended that belt, and then went on to move on to the pro ranks. He's currently 4-0 inside our cage, so at this time, I'd like to announce Peter Barrett's on the line, and on January 30th, he'll be taking on former title contender Taylor Trahan.
What's up, guys?
How goes it, Peter?
Just another lovely day in my office.
Well, Mike just announced your fight, you know, so I want to get a little bit of a background on you, where you're from, what are your, you know, what is your team, what are your strengths, and then we'll get into talking about your fight and how you feel about your opponents.
Cool. So I am born and raised from Abington, Mass. I train over at Siaton, Gracie Fitness, and Junigo in Hanover. Let's see. We could go in. Yeah, I mean, I train up at Skill of Strength as well in Chelmsford with Mike Perry. He's my strength and conditioning coach. I also work with a nutritionist that's affiliated with him out of there as well. So big ups to those guys. My start with fighting kind of segued from wrestling in high school. It was, you know, 2004, 2005 when I was graduating from high school. And The Ultimate Fighter, I think that was like season 2 or 3, was really starting to pick up and get popular. And it was just something cool that I always wanted to try that I was kind of too afraid to get into at that time. And then as time went on, I started training Muay Thai under Brandon Thatch when I lived in Colorado, and it really just took a hold of me, and I found it as another way to start competing again, and, you know, I just haven't really looked back since.
Well, you've done an outstanding job in both your amateur and professional career so far. My first question is this. Have you gotten a movement coach, since that's the fucking thing of the week now? Is your movement coach working with you? Are you working on your flips and all that shit?
Dude, I've always been doing handstands and whatnot. That's, and I used to do a lot of yoga, so the movement isn't something new to me. I just think it's something that a lot of people weren't paying attention to before, and they see someone like Conor McGregor doing it. And, you know, when you see someone that's successful, you emulate them as much as you can until you start to see that success.
Well, you're coming up, you're going to be fighting Taylor Trahan, who is at a Team Link. You know, he's a good jiu-jitsu fighter. You know, obviously don't give away what your game plan is going to be, but how do you feel coming
into this
fight?
I'm going to fucking knock him out, dude. There's not too much I can hide with my game plan. I hit like a truck, and, you know, you can't really outgrind me. So if you look at some of my longer fights from my amateur career, because all my pro fights, I think, have been taken care of in the first round, but the longer and later I go into fights, the better I get. And that's when you start to see me really make leaps and bounds past people's talent and skill with my own, you know. They get tired and I get hungry.
Absolutely. You know, he's coming off a tough loss. I believe his last fight was Chris Foster. That fight was pretty quick. Have you watched any of his other fights to kind of see and feel it out and put something together? Or are you just going to go in there and grind
paying
the fuck
attention.
Out of it?
Yeah. I mean, I started paying attention to, you know, the other 45ers in the area. And he fought at the Combat Zone just like a year ago. One of my teammates was fighting on the same card, so I watched him fight. I don't remember who he fought. I wasn't impressed. They were two top 10 guys, and I just wasn't really impressed by their performance. And it just kind of like cemented it and ingrained it in me that, you know, these kids aren't going to last long with me. Taylor's kind of like a grinder, but I'm just better than him. And all areas. I mean, he's a strong jiu-jitsu guy. That's great. My jiu-jitsu's on point. I'm a high-level purple belt. I've been doing jiu-jitsu in a gi since 2010, 2011. You know, we're coming up on 2016. So it's not something that I don't pay attention to. His chin isn't going to last with my hands. I mean, all I really need to do is put my foot on his chin and he's done, which I've been working, you know, a lot of placement, a lot of control, slowing everything down, kind of working on game plans and drawing my opponent into where I want them, not necessarily leading all the time, but getting him to screw up and then making him pay the price for it, you know?
Absolutely. Now, you know, not to look past this fight, you know, you're obviously very confident coming into it. 2016 is just kicking off. It's the first fight card of the year. Tell me where you see yourself at the end of 2016.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, maybe a Cage Titan belt come the end of 2016, but definitely looking to get to the bigger stage. Everybody knows what my plan is. Mike's awesome. You know, he knows that we're trying to get to the UFC, and we're trying to get to the, or if not the UFC, then maybe ONE FC, maybe Bellator. Who knows? Right now, those three promotions are kind of putting on really good shows, so I wouldn't mind fighting for either one of them. But, you know, definitely going to the big show by the end of the year.
So this fight aside, any other 145ers in the area that you've had an eye on or that you would like to fight or possibly get in for a title for, or anybody that's irked you or irritated you that you'd like a piece of?
I mean, I'll fight whoever you put in front of me. My biggest issue is exactly that. That's why I need a manager. That's why I need to be pulled back. That's why I need to be told to shut up on Facebook. You know, let those people that make the fights make the fights, and I just got to show up and do my job. You know, you put them in front of me, I'll give you his head.
That sounds good, man. All right, Mike, we'll let you take over for a second. Tell us about this fight, the matchup, what you think it leads to, and what you would like to see out of this guy by the end of 2016.
Yeah, definitely. You know, obviously Pete's been with us for a long time. I think all but one of his fights were at us. He does hold the record for most Cage Titans fights, I believe. He might have just took over Cupcake, so they might be 1-2. But, you know, obviously we're looking to build him and you know, as well as many fighters. And you know, all I can do is put opponents out there and may the best man kind of win. You know, I try to be as even as possible and not show favoritism and just, you know, like last fight, I remember Tateki beat Johnny Cupcakes and, you know, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I beat your friend. And I was like, hey, Tateki, man, it's a fight. I know when I put these fights together, I know what's happening. You know, obviously Pete's been with us for a while, but that's not to say that Taylor's going to come in here and lay down. Taylor just fought for our title against Frank Sforza. It was a tough, tough fight. They fought four rounds until I think he got rear naked choked in the fourth round. But Taylor's a tough guy, and he has great jiu-jitsu, but that's not the only part of his game. He has some solid stand-up. You know, I know he did get knocked out in a fight up at a Combat Zone, but that's not to say that he doesn't have, you know, decent hands. He won a great fight against Joe Pignatori at Warrior Nation, who's known for his boxing. You know, so all in all, I mean, we're just about putting on great fights, and I think that this just falls in line with it. It's, you know, a guy who's been around for a little while. I think Taylor's 5-3 or 5-4. Pete's kind of on the rise at 4-0. So it's a great test. You know, can Pete pass the test, or, you know, is Taylor going to say, hey, listen, you know, young guy coming up in the ranks, you still have it to beat me. So either way, it's going to be a great fight. And, you know, beyond that, I'm not really thinking too much. You know, we got January 30th in front of us, and what happens throughout the year, you know, will kind of take shape as the fights happen. You know, we have January planned, April, June, August, and November. We got 5 dates, so there's plenty of time for action. A lot of things can change. You know, so we'll see what happens as the year goes on.
This is obviously a high up there fight. You know, it's got to be, you know, to me, I would think this would be a number one contender fight where Tyler just fought for your 145 title. You got Peter Barrett coming up. That's 4-0. You think the winner of this fight, you know, if it be Tyler, that he gets another crack at Frank? Or do you think that, you know, is something you would offer to Pete? Or you want to try and save your friend for another day?
Say that last part again? What do you mean? Explain
what
that,
do you mean?
That last part.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. You know, that's an interesting thing. I mean, I don't know where you came up with that question, but I'll do my best to answer it. You know, basically, Taylor's made it no secret that he wants to fight Frank again. He emailed me after fighting Frank and said straight out, he's like, "Well, I want to try to get another crack at him. I know I don't deserve it coming off that loss." He's like, "But I'm game, you know. So I'm looking to get back at Frank." So you know, that's definitely something that Taylor has his kind of sights set on. You know, Pete, obviously, you know, he mentioned just here today that he's looking for a title. You know, I know this fight's at 155. I know Frank has the belt at 45. You know, so it really depends on really who wins. I mean, if either guy wants to step up and fight Frank at 45, you know, that's a fight we can most certainly make. If the goals are stay at 55, then we can see what avenues kind of open up at that juncture.
Okay. Pete, we're getting ready to close it up.
Hey, Keegan, I'm going to turn the shop on you. So the way you phrased the question, does that mean you think that Frank is an unbeatable force at 45? The way that you phrased it, the winner, are you going to save them for another day or let them fight Frank? Does that mean you think Frank's some unstoppable
monster?
No,
I meant save your friend. Save your friend as in save your friend Frank, you know.
All right. I'll let you off the hook on that one. I'll let you off the hook, Keegan.
I think Pete's a good fight for Frank. I think that's an exciting fight. I think Pete's got a good chance to win that fight. But we'll see what happens there. You know, like I said, I was trying to throw a crack at South Shore, where you're a South Shore guy. So, Pete, finish up the show. If you want to give some shout-outs, you know, talk about selling some tickets, whatever you got for sponsors, anything you want to say before we go?
Yeah, how big's your audience?
Huh?
How big's your audience?
The last show we had 50-something live listeners, and then now we're up to almost 1,300 archive listens.
Sweet. So,
that was a week ago.
So for the shout-outs, we'll go Skill of Strength, MMA Fight Prep. Find them on Instagram at MMA Fight Prep. It's my strength and conditioning coach. He's probably one of the best general. Like, enough said, he's probably one of the best at what he does. Mike Perry, he's up in Chelmsford. He's awesome. Sityod Tom, Crew Mark, Andy Cote, Rob Font, Tony Martin, Tateki. You know, they're my teammates, but they're also my coaches. We've got Daniel Gracie over at Tunico. Of course, everybody knows Loco Lobo, that crazy old bastard. He's around. He's my head coach. He's a good mentor. We have Ariel Sexton. He's a badass. He's fighting. He's a title contender over at 1FC in Singapore. He's with us at Junico. Big shout out to Mad Max. Hopefully, Mike can get him his pro debut on this card. We tried to do it last card too. Everybody's bitching out. Nobody wants to fight him. So I'm just calling out all the 125 pros. All the 135 pros, my brother's looking to make his pro debut. Quit your bitching. Put your gloves on. Let's do it.
I got to laugh, Pete. I love Pete. He's always like he said
shout
earlier.
Shout out to Mike
Fulvera,
Cage Titans. Keegan, hopefully we can get to roll again after Sean wastes you on the 30th. But this time I promise I won't be drunk when we get on the mat.
Your lie. Tell it how you want, buddy.
Nice
to have you on.
I've
brother.
Got Verde Boutique. That's a big sponsor.
Close it up.
Sheath Underwear. Sheath Underwear. Huge sponsor of mine. They hooked me up with product and helped cover some of my dues. So Sheath Underwear, follow those guys at sheathunderwear.com. But yeah, I think those are my shout outs.
Awesome, man. It was nice to have you on. Thanks for giving us a little info about yourself. Thanks for talking about your fight. Best of luck to you. And hopefully your brother gets a fight. Mike, anything you want to end with?
No, I love, glad to have Pete on. You know, he's always outspoken. It was funny how earlier in the conversation he's talking about how he's like coaches try to wrangle him in, not go out on fight Facebook, and then here he is ending the interview with, I'm telling all you bitches at 25 and 35, fight my brother. The Barrett brothers are always, they're always bringing, they're like the Diaz brothers of the Northeast, we love having them on the show, and trust me, I'm working my hardest to get Max a pro debut, definitely want him inside the cage making his pro debut with us.
Peter, I would like to see a profanity-ridden tirade after your fight. Just steal the mic from Mike and go off and just start calling everybody out and cussing and having a good time.
I'm still waiting for people to jump over the cage at me every time I win to call me out, dude. Like some old-school Diaz strike force shit.
Hey, Keegan, you gonna let him on that parting shot say how Sean Lally's going to kick your ass?
Oh, well, he's teammates, man. You're going to say what you're going to say. He's going to say what he's going to say. He's going to, it's his lie. He can tell it how he wants. I was drunk. You cut me. It wasn't fair. My game is what it is. I don't even go for submissions. I control everyone. I've been working on it for 5-plus years now. I don't drop off or nothing. I stay on top of you and I elbow and punch you. So at least we weren't doing that, right, Pete?
Sure.
Since we're talking about your fight with Lally, I will say that Lally texted me after last week's interview and said he was trying to be the professional, saying he'd take you to the second round or third round or whatever he said. He said, but after hearing your prediction, he wants me to let you know that you're not going to make it out of the first minute.
Yeah, everybody wants to say that. They're confident in the preparation of the fight, but everybody, it's a fight. Everybody goes into a fight the same way. We all put our pants on the same way in the morning. I'm playing a two-day session with great coaches. I took 2 years off after two impressive wins, both at 170. It is what it is. He can think what he wants. But you watch the fight. You're supposed to tell the tale of who you are. I finished in impressive fashion in under a minute. He took Spiegel to the fucking, third round, second round, So he can say what he wants. It'll be a fun time. But, if he lets me get off, the fight's over in a hurry.
So before I leave, I guess, like I said, January 30th, Cage Titans 27. We're excited for the event. We'll be coming back to you, Keegan, announcing some more fights. I'll try to get some more of the fighters on. I'd like to let Pete have the last word. Pete, what's your prediction for your fight?
Death by knockout.
All right. Well, there you have it. I got nothing else for you, Keegan. You can wrap it up. Thanks, Pete, for coming on. Thanks, Keegan,
right on, guys.
For having us and giving us an avenue to talk about the fights. I know this is only we had this going pretty strong 3 years ago. Then we took a little hiatus from doing it. I know this is our third week back. I look forward to, working with you, bringing your fighters, getting guys on the line to kind of build this back up for you. The MMA Horn's a great voice, great platform, and I know the fighters probably enjoy coming on. So I look forward to the future with you and next week and get some more callers on.
Absolutely. I'm excited to bring it back up to where it was. There was a time when we did a live show from one of you. I think it was the Johnny
Kimmel,
Dominic War. We did an actual live stream, and we had like fucking 1,500 viewers and a bunch of it. Was a good time. So hopefully we can get back to there and have a good time with it and give the fighters an avenue to promote themselves and get some listeners and gain some followers.
Right on.
Awesome. All right, guys. I'll talk to you soon and enjoy your day.
All right, guys. Have a good day.